As we enter into a new holy day season, we need to reflect on the fact that God is a being of order. He is a being of time and schedules. God created the very idea of time itself by simply setting the moon, the sun, the stars, the planets, the earth, just so, in order that man would be kept on track based upon the plan that God has in mind. God the Father, who is the one who has fixed times and seasons, He did so by His own authority. In fact, Jesus Christ said so. Jesus told His disciples this just before His ascending into heaven. We find that in the book of Acts chapter 1. In the book of Acts chapter 1, if you would go there. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 7. And we read, He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by His own authority." The Bible talks about time, times, seasons, appointed times, fulfilled time, the fullness of time, the cutting short of time, and even a time when time shall be no longer. We learn in the Scriptures that some things are forever, but time, as we now know it, is temporary. We also know in our being, in our gut, that time is short. What are God's purposes for time? What purposes does God have for seasons? Now, I think these are interesting questions, but of course, we as humans, and you and I included, we are mainly concerned about God's purposes in time that involves us. And what we see is God wants us to know He has planned, He has scheduled, and He is moving us forward. He definitely knows the beginning from the end. Scripture tells us that. What He does is no accident. It is by design. Time is part of the process God uses to show His signs. Time is a way to witness to us of God's providence, His divine intervention, and His sovereignty. God may seem late to us when we need an answer from Him or when we need deliverance. But please understand, God is always on time. Exactly on time. So let's examine some of the many scriptures on this particular topic, this subject, to see just how important timing is to God and some of the things that it has to do with His plan for us. As we go through, let's uncover significant issues and understand how God is appointing times and seasons for our benefit and for His great purpose. I'm sure that we would all agree that when Jesus came, it was the right time. It wasn't too early. It wasn't too late. It was the right time in God's plan. It was time for Jesus to do what He did. Yes, it had been planned since the foundations of the world, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. But the time had come for it to actually happen, and it did. As we also all know, Jesus came preaching the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled." Let's read that. It's over here in the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14, now after John had been taken into custody or had been put into prison, as it says in some different translations, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel, the good news. But what exactly did Jesus do? We can find a summary answer over in the book of Acts in chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. It doesn't tell us everything, but you'll see the point that I'm making in just a moment. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God had given signs and prophetic witnesses all through the Scripture, all the way back to Adam, about what God planned to do. There are many prophetic symbols that God provided to man, to us, way back in the garden. For example, God making man in his image is one of those things. Another one is God giving marriage. A third thing would be making two become one, or setting people in families, or giving mankind dominion. And there are others. There are multiple others of things that God has shown us way back from the very beginning. These all picture something in God's eternal purpose for mankind. Yet, somehow, even the intellectuals or the religious leaders did not see God's purpose 2,000 years ago. From a leadership standpoint, the blunder they made was catastrophic. However, God, as we certainly can see and understand from Scriptures, God had not revealed all of His plan. 2,000 years ago, God still had many hidden things to reveal to humans, things that He had carefully guarded for millennia. It wasn't the right time. They looked for Messiah, but they missed Him completely, even though He walked among them, even though they saw Him, even though He was telling them who He was by the way He lived His life, even though He was there and fulfilled hundreds of Scriptures by His life, they missed Him. It was time for Jesus to appear. It was time for the Messiah's first coming. They looked for Him, but they did not see Him. It was time to preach the gospel to the world at that particular time of the coming kingdom. And who was going to be the ruler there? They still didn't see it. I'm not going to turn there, but back in the book of Isaiah 61. Chapter 61 of Isaiah laid out God's intention. Jesus was anointed and sent to bring, as it says, good tidings to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Yes, it was time for all of this to happen according to Scripture, but it was not revealed to everyone. The timing was not right, but it was the time for the revealing to begin. And then we have back in the Old Covenant Scriptures, the Old Testament, we find Solomon, who is recorded at that particular time in history as being the wisest man, and he certainly was. But we find Solomon musing on many of the mysteries, many of the issues of life In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon presents a summary statement about times and seasons. Go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, a time to die, to plant, or to root up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, to tear down and to build up, to weep and to laugh, to mourn and to dance, to throw stones and to gather stones together, to embrace and to shun embracing, to search and to give up as lost, to keep and to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Verse 9. What profit is there to the worker in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. In verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for them, meaning man, than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should fear Him. Verse 15. That which has been already and that which will be has already been. For God seeks what has passed by. Furthermore, I have seen under the sun that in the place of justice there is wickedness, and in the place of righteousness there is wickedness. I said to myself, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man, for a time for every matter and for every deed is there. Drop down with me to verse 20. All go to the same place. All come from the dust, and all return to the dust. Who knows that the breath of man ascends upward, and the breath of the beast descends downward to the earth? In verse 22, I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we find a description of the repeating, the repetition, as it were, the acts of nature that mark time and seasons. In verse 4, it describes the marking of time, the passing of time, the cycles of times and seasons that seem to go on and on and on from Solomon's perspective. Chapter 1 and verse 4. A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. It all seemed empty, vain, and void of meaning to Solomon. He pondered the fleeting existence of human life as the seasons of earth came and went on and on and on while human beings lived and worked and died, because this human existence seemed only temporary to Solomon. He pondered He thought about the rewards in this life. He looked for its worth. He looked for its value, even comparing something very interesting, a living dog with a dead lion. He examined the experiences, the excitement, and the sadness of life. He researched the oddities of this life and its errors and its evils as well as its enjoyments. He looked at the fool, the wise, or the poor man, or the wicked rulers. And he saw the inadequacies of man and his life. And he comes to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon finally grasped that wisdom was better than folly, and that life was better than death. And he realized the best a human could do was to fear God and keep His commandments. Yet when you read the entirety of the book of Ecclesiastes, you come to another conclusion from Solomon's writings. Something was missing. Solomon, the preacher, was weary, not being able to grasp the purpose of these human times in which we all live. Because you see, God, in His infinite wisdom and determined purpose, had withheld certain information from Solomon. Some things were still secret, even to the wisest man who was alive at the time. God has often done this. God discloses things at His set time. So yes, we conclude and we can see the secret things belong to God. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that. And it says, the secret things belong to God, but the things that He has revealed, He has revealed them, or He has given them to you, meaning to the people of God, and to the people of God's descendants, to their children. God is the one who reveals them to us as He chooses, as the time is right in His purpose. Those of us in the human race that have been called and chosen now are so very blessed. God chose ancient Israel thousands of years ago. The time was right. He set it up. You know the plan. You know the history. He had 12 sons who were born to this one man, who was a descendant of Isaac, who was the descendant of Abraham. And He had called him out and put him into a place. And then generations later, here Israel, or Jacob, has these 12 sons. 11 of them got together and sold one of the brothers. And then the story is revealed to us. The timing was there. Joseph tells us that in the story back in Genesis. Whenever he reveals himself to his brother, which is a very emotional story whenever you really get into it and really see it and really understand that. And he tells him, he says, don't be angry at yourself. God did this in the timing. It was the right time. God sent me ahead of you because there were going to be these 7 years of plenty and there were going to be 7 years of famine so you would not starve. The timing was all in God's plan. And then as a result, what happened? Israel remained in Egypt. And then we know, as is stated, the rest of the story. It was all done in the right time, in the right circumstances, under the right conditions, because God is the one who had set all of that up. God is the one who had done that. And now God has chosen spiritual Israel, the church, the body of Jesus Christ. How blessed we are to be called and known of God now. It is a time or a season for the church. The time and season for the physical nation of Israel is past. It is the time and season now for the church. And we see and we understand that God wants, God desires what He does to be known. All mysteries of the times and seasons will be made plain one day. It will happen. And for those He is actively working with, He reveals His purposes step by step. God does nothing except He reveals His plans to His servants, the prophets. That's what He says. It's over in the book of Amos. In Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Amos 3 and verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret counsel to His servants, the prophets. Brother, that's the church. It's no longer Israel, it's the church. It's spiritual Israel. It's the body of Jesus Christ today. Jesus said that He was uttering things kept hidden from the foundation of the world. Go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew 13 and verse 35, Jesus is speaking and He says, "This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet." And He is quoting from the book of Psalm 78 and verse 2. Psalm 78 verse 2, it says, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." Dark doesn't mean bad here. Dark means things that are not known. And then continuing here in Matthew 13 and verse 35, and He says, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world." Why was He speaking it to the disciples then? It was the right time. It wasn't just then known. It had been known since the foundation of the world. But the timing was now. It was given for some of them to come to know and understand these hidden things as Jesus walked the earth. But not for all to know at that time. Just like it's not now time for everyone to know and understand either. In Matthew chapter 16, it is recorded that Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees that they could interpret the weather, but that they could not interpret the signs of the times. Jesus refused to give them any additional signs at that time because signs were already available to them. And they couldn't see it. The religious leaders simply could not see. The religious leaders simply could not hear. In fact, their decisions and their actions actually ran counter to the Scriptures. And they prided themselves on being from Abraham and prided themselves on knowing what the Bible said. But this is what Jesus is telling them. You don't see, you don't hear, and He was referring to what's actually out there, available, but you just don't see it and you don't hear it. And He was talking about the signs that existed in nature. He was talking about the signs of what was happening in the pages of the Bible that they prided themselves on. They didn't get it. Not only did it just run counter to Scripture, they acted as enemies of God throughout the life of Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because they finally killed Him. They killed Him as the fulfillment of the Passover they thought they were observing correctly. On the very day of the Passover that they were going to be killing that sacrificial lamb that afternoon, which is the way they were doing it, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, what happens? The Passover died. They didn't get it. Someone had to fulfill the enemy's part in prophetic Scripture. It was just too bad that they chose to do it. And we need to thank God that it was not us. And we need to ask that God would grant them mercy in His own way and in His own time for those people. Various details that we can read, we can study in the biblical account of the actions of those religious leaders at the time of Jesus Christ, they give us pause to wonder just how blind being blind can be. The question that we obviously ask is, are we blind, or maybe how blind are we to what we don't see that is there? And we further see from studying that particular time, 2,000 years ago, it was time for some revelation. It was time for some fulfilled prophecies. It was time for a sinless life. It was time for a perfect sacrifice. It was time for good news to be announced. It was time for a church to be created. And it was time for a body of believers to be begotten and grow to perfection. 2,000 years ago, a season of discipleship began. 2,000 years ago, a spiritual nation was begun. What time is it now? Are we in the season of the famine of the word that's talked about in Amos? Are we? It's prophetic. It's going to happen. Are we in a season of ongoing discipleship? This is not a word that we traditionally use. Why not? That's what they did. And the church is told, go you into all the world and make disciples. The shorthand term of that is discipleship. We're told to go do it, to make disciples. Where? To all the nations, to all the world. Are we in a season of planting and watering? Are we in a season of reaping the harvest? Are we in a time of feeding the church? Are we nearing the time when the bride has made herself ready? We need to discern the times and the seasons. The revelation only comes from God. What time is it? Well, whatever time it is, it certainly is time for all of us to be awake And surely we all know that something significant is looming. All you've got to do is look. All we have to do is look. And we can discern, we can see, we can sense that something is out there about to happen. The Lord, Jesus Christ, will return in glory. We just don't know exactly the time, meaning the hour or the day, according to Matthew 25 and verse 13. Matthew 25 and verse 13. Be on the alert then, for you know not the day nor the hour. It didn't say we could not know the season. Because we are close, we are exhorted to watch. Watch. And as we watch, we must still be busy and about our Father's business. Something that I think that we, as a congregation, as being part of the Church of the Sovereign God, we need to stop. We need to think. We need to ask ourselves on an individual basis, on a family basis, and as a congregation, are we profitably using this time? Are we profitably using this season of peace among the brothers and sisters of the Church of the Sovereign God? Or are we being impatient with God? Are we preparing ourselves? Are we seeking our God and His will? Are we doing what God wants us and expects us to do? Because you see, here's the thing. We cannot wait to prepare ourselves. While we have the time, then let's do it. Let's do so. And let's do it right. God wants to use clean hands and pure hearts. God wants to use people who will produce much fruit. Do we have clean hands and pure hearts? Are we producing much fruit? God also wants to use a people who will give Him, will give God all the glory for the fruit, not taking any of it to themselves. Now, a question that I have for us is, does this describe us? Does this describe you? Does this describe me? Are we humble enough to be used in such a way? Are our hands clean? Are our hearts pure? Are we guilty of the blood of any man? Have we attacked or have we harmed our brothers in any way? It's a question or a series of questions that we need to be asking ourselves. Remember, we're preparing for the Passover. During this time, just prior to this coming Passover, just days away, let us seek God's face and let us seek God's favor. God will show us what needs to be cleaned up. But we've got to be asking. And we've got to be sincere. And we've got to be humble. He is the one who will knit us together in love. He is the one who forgives us. He is the one who gives us the grace to forgive others. Have we? Are we? Are we even looking? Do we assume we've done it all right? Are we talking about others, making accusations, accusing? Well, that's not of God. It's very plain. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Are we doing that? And the answer is real simple. It's either yes or no. And don't assume we know the answer. Let's look. Let's examine ourselves. Let's see. God is the one who will give us the open doors, not our knocking on them and knocking them down and driving through them with Hummers or with bulldozers or any other thing that can knock down doors. God is the one who will give us the open doors. Therefore, let us ask Him boldly to open doors. Again, He's either going to say one of two things. Yes or no. He is the one who provides the seed for the Word of God. He is the one who will give the increase. Therefore, let us ask Him boldly. The answer is either yes or no. And we can approach this from a way that is either right or wrong, good or not so good. But He's the one we ask. He's the one who says no, or He's the one who says yes. Judas was impatient. I want you to think about that statement. Judas was impatient. He took matters into his own hands, perhaps thinking that he could force Jesus to set up the kingdom on earth at that time. Who knows his possible motives? We can't give him motives. Well, he did it because of this and this and this. We don't know that. Why? Because the Bible doesn't say. What we know is he was impatient. He was trying to force something that was not the right time. Yes, I know. Well, we could argue, yes, but somebody had to betray him for the time to happen at that time. It would have happened. I'm not saying that God would have worked it out another way. You know why? Because it worked this way. What I know is, from reading the account, Judas was impatient. Are we impatient? Are we trying to force God to do something that the timing isn't right? I don't know. It's a question. We need to be asking ourselves. Or then on the other hand, is it the right time for things to happen, but we're too cautious? Overly much? I don't know. We've got to ask ourselves the questions. What we do know about Judas is that he did not act out of godly motives. Judas was not clean. I can make that statement because I'm simply quoting the words of Jesus. That's what He said. In John chapter 13, in the Gospel of John chapter 13, in verse 1, this is at the Passover, and we know He institutes for us the foot washing. And before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, the time was right, He knew it, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, or during supper as it looks like from the other accounts, putting it all together, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus, to betray Him, okay, that's a key word, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He was come from God and went to God, He rises from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. We're seeing an attitude. I'm reading these verses to lead up to one verse to show you an attitude. And to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then comes He to Simon Peter, and Simon said unto the Lord, do You wash My feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do you know not. You don't understand now, but you're going to know hereafter. And Peter said unto him, you shall never wash My feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash you not, you have no part with Me. Simon Peter said unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Cleanse me. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. Verse 11, for he knew who should betray Him. Therefore He said, you are not all clean. Are we clean? Let each one of us settle it in our own hearts to submit to God. Let each one of us settle it in our own hearts to die to self, to put self to death. To seek God's will and His glory only. Whatever else God has planned for this time, let us not miss it, as the religious leaders did 2,000 years ago. He walked among them, and they couldn't see it, and they couldn't hear it. God will reveal His will. The secrets of God are not finished yet. The mystery is not completed yet. Go with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 10. Revelation 10. And verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as He preached to His servants, the prophets. This has been stated. But the revelation, the revealing, the completing of the secrets and all the mysteries are not yet complete, but they will be. let's all set our hearts to determine to be clean. Because, brethren, the cleansing is available. Those who are not clean will not know what God is doing. They won't see it, and they cannot hear it. Also, it's a time for us to be filled with the Spirit of God. Those whose vessels are empty will not be ready when the set time has come. It's the lesson, or a lesson, an important lesson that we learn from Matthew 25 with the 10 virgins. Yes, they all slept, and they all carried their vessels, which is an indication of having the Holy Spirit, but they were not all ready. They were not all prepared. Five were, yet five were not. And that's a story for emphasis for the return of Jesus Christ, which time is close. Not 2,000 years ago when Jesus spoke it. It's more for our time. So there are lessons that we need to be learning, even from these prophetic events that were talked about. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We need to have our vessels full. Because here's the point. God's plan marches on. Now here's a question for you. Do you believe it? Let us live like we do believe it, with every fiber of our being, during each moment of each and every day. Let's prepare for the Passover. It's time.